the way I've been declaring God in this chapter. There are people, millions of people, billions of people in the world who would hear what I would say and not at all be wanting to love the God that I teach. And there are Christians who would be offended at the way I teach God and say, you do him disservice and you portray him in a way that makes him look evil. I say, only to them that are evil, to those that are evil, God appears evil. Their eye is evil because he is good. That's what it is. He's good. Their eye is evil towards him because they're jealous, because they don't like the way he is. They don't like him being generous to people. They don't like it because he's not generous to them. And that miffs them a bit. It does. And whether they want to admit that exact mentality, obviously every person's going to have their own mental gyration they go through. When confronted with the living God, when confronted with the God who is sovereign over all creation, with God who dictates things that man does not please himself in. Who can love God? If you don't know him, you're loving him in your ignorance. You're not loving him with all the understanding. To love him with all the understanding is greater than offering and sacrifice. To love him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. To put forth your strength to love God. And people, sometimes I hear people say, you know, oh, don't rely on your own strength. Lean not to your own understanding. I understand what you mean. But understand what he means. God gives us gifts and he wants us to use them. We have to lean on that which he gives us. You know, when you say leaning on the Lord, what are you leaning on? Just something vacuous? Where is God? Except that you know him in your mind. And that his spirit has been poured out upon you. And you have a connection by the spirit to him. That you lean on something that you have a communication with in a relationship. That's the word. I was avoiding it because it's just so overused. But you have a relational experience with God. You relate to him. I talk to him. He teaches me. He talks to me. Oh, God talks to you? Only in the spirit. You know? And the strongest it's ever come, it comes like a strong thought. And sometimes you think, how can I distinguish my thoughts from God's thoughts? Because my thoughts are not his thoughts, it says. And I usually understand that when I seek God and I go into his word and I'm in his spirit, that he communicates things to me in the spirit. But not, you know, and then people, I know people look at that with a lot of sneering and doubt. And that's fine. Because until the power of God has been poured out on you, as it was poured out on me, how could you even understand such things? I used to scoff at such things, so I perfectly understand. I pity you. You couldn't experience things from that other perspective. And I used to look at people and say, well, I'm sure they're sincere. As you, I'm sure people who would hear me would think, he's probably sincere and he really believes something happened to him, but there's probably some other explanation. I have a few other explanations, but the one I've been given is good enough. You know, the one that God has given me is the one I'm going to go with. Because it's the only explanation that will lead me to eternal life. And I'd rather fail at seeking that than in seeking anything else and succeeding. Because anything else that I succeed in without eternal life is worthless. And people could argue to the contrary. I say no. Really no. There's no point. Because it's all going to burn. We know it. We can fly away. Right? It's all going to burn and it's all going to freeze. And it's all going to go away. But God abides forever. So I would say to people, if there is a God, I want to know him. And if he's offering eternal life, I want to lay hold on it. I want to find that way. Because God gave me the wisdom to seek to preserve myself. And he's all, and the beauty of it, I know he's calling me because he put it in my heart to love it as it is, as he has written it, as he says I am. I harden the hearts of some. I choose others to be saved, and no man can say otherwise. No man can reply against me. I love it. I love it. If you can't love it, read Romans 9. Take it for what it's teaching you. Can you love it? If you can't, you have a problem. You need to overcome. You need to accept the scriptures. It's not a question of interpretation. It's a question of acceptance. You want to be accepted of him, you better accept what he's saying to you. And this love of God and love of neighbor with understanding. With understanding. It's not because, here's why it's important to have details of the commandments. Because man will screw it up. Man will get it not right. There'll be an argument, but who is my neighbor? And Jesus gives an explanation. And if you analyze the parable of the Good Samaritan, you realize that the man who is the neighbor to the man who was injured was that man's enemy. Because the Samaritans and the Jews were enemies. And the Samaritan had pity on a man who hated him. He was neighbor to him. You go and be neighbor to someone else. Not ask not who my neighbor is, but who am I the neighbor of? Who am I a neighbor to? I'll be your neighbor, you know? Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. In seeking God's love. I'll tell you what, you seek these things. You don't know how to love God, pray that you may understand and love him as he is. As the scriptures declare God to be. Understand, not just one little scripture taken by the letter, not brought into the whole picture, to love God as he is. And to understand is important. So let's, you know, add your faith, virtue to your virtue, knowledge. Let's have faith in a God that is true, and a God according as the scriptures declare, as Christ and his apostles declared him. That's the God we follow, the God of Christ and his apostles. At least that's the God I'm going to follow. And if you want to hear about him, I'll tell you all about it. And if you love to hear about it, then you'll listen. Verse 35, and Jesus answered and said while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. So the common people were listening to him. But nobody wanted to ask him questions, especially not the scribes. The learned guys, they were plumb out of questions.